Welcome to We Empower, the radio show that inspires you to embrace your potential, resilience, and strength. In these challenging times, we're here to help you unlock your power to overcome obstacles, pursue your dreams, and shape a brighter future. I'm Anna Martinez, your host for this empowering hour. Welcome, everyone, to another exciting episode of We Empower. I'm thrilled to have you all with us today, so sit back, relax, and get ready to be inspired. Let's make today count. In today's episode, we will dive into recapping a few moments from the previous week with a survey, which will cause our interest, and we will hear a song that hints at the intriguing personality of our special guest who might join us later today, who is Dr. Mike Chan, who will be sharing inspirational insights with us if he can manage to be with us. And we have, of course, a special book today. It is the new Happy to wrap things up. We will open then the floor maybe to one of your questions. But let's start already with a song selected by Dr. Mike Chan.
Think about the generations, and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children, so that they know it's a better world for them, and think they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. Much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there. If you care enough for the living, make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world, a better place for you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, make a better place for you and for me. If you want to know why, there's a love that cannot lie. Is strong, it only cares for joyful giving. If we try, we shall see. In this bliss we cannot feel, there are dreams to stop existing and start living. Then it feels that always love's enough for us growing.
Make it
So, welcome here in this show. And we are still waiting for Dr. Mike Chen, who should be the radio guest today. We know that he might be in a plane and has a delay there. So, we start already without him. We should have now here Professor Dato Sri Dr. Mike Chen, Chairman of European Wellness Biomedical Group, a global leader in stem cells, immunology, and bioregenerative medicine. I know that some of you might have been waiting for him because he is not one of the leading persons in this field. He is also a chairman of many organizations, which is about cell therapy. So the topic longevity is really a key word in his life. He's a multiple award winner for invention and innovations. He built and researched a lot on really important things to keep the life of us longer and healthier. So maybe we can welcome him here later in the show. But as he is the co-owner and owner of 46 hospitals and medical wellness and centers worldwide, it might be that he needs a bit more time to arrive here. He authored and co-authored 50 plus scientific books and 100 plus publications in the United States and UK. He holds 50 international patents in stem cells, immunology, and biotechnology. So I hope that we can welcome him later here today. But let me start. I mean, I was also personally really looking forward to having him here. Some of you might know that I have a special history on health. My father died with 57, suffering cancer, and he wished from his daughter, me, that I should study medicine to find something which fight cancer in a really good and effective and healthy way. I studied medicine, but unfortunately he died before I could be so far. We are already far with developing medicine, really high technology medicine, as you could see it during the time of COVID. But what we sometimes miss is the medicine which is in our body itself. We not only miss this medicine, but also we miss these factors, which are warning factors or suggesting factors in our body, we call a kind of intuition. I, as some of you know, come from a family where I, as a first daughter, was the person who should fulfill, of course, the family's ideas on how a daughter should be, how the firstborn child should be. And I had the feeling that I couldn't have an alternative, that I couldn't have another chance than just fulfilling as a firstborn. As with a father who was sick already very early and living in an area, in a rural area, where it was quite hard to do things on your own in this age. And I had to learn it on the hard way how important it is to look after yourself. Some of you might know that I had a tough accident in 2016. In 2009, where I was laying in hospital for years. And therefore, after the school medicine told me that I have 3 days to live left, I decided that I asked my body if he gives me a second chance. My body said yes, and my mind said yes too, and my heart said yes too. So I looked around and got very deep into indigenous methods of healing, into technology methods of healing, and into the normal school medicine methods of healing. Due to my medicine knowledge beforehand already, I could do it in a kind of puzzle. And some of you might know that I have a bishop as an uncle who had not a doctor in medicine. But he supported people in healing. He supported people in getting healthier by talking with them, we would say today, maybe coaching or psychotherapy, and by giving them and showing them the power they have inside themselves. I reminded when I was laying in hospital on that one day where the doctors went into my room and said that I have 3 days to live left. I reminded that what he told me one day, where he said that we have so much power in ourselves we often are not aware of. And then I reminded about myself, about my power. I've showed in different situations. And I promised myself that I take care of me, that I listen to my intuition, and that I do everything what my body says this time. So I thought, what is possible to change? And I looked into what I was eating. Now, of course, at that time, it was not a lot. Of course, I couldn't eat that easy at that time. But looking deeper into that, I figured out that some of these things I were eating was not that food which could feed me. It was not that food which could let me grow. It was more the food which could put me down, which was not good for my lower stomach. Looking then further into my circumstances showed me that from a foreign side, I was laying in a room without no pictures, without a small view on a wall outside, with a lot of shadow, with little sun. And I recognized that the world outside is much, much nicer than here inside my room. And I tried to bring this world outside into my room with flowers, with pictures made from children, with colorful accessories which decorated my room and gave me hope that I could see in a further future this accessories also outside, directly outside. So I was full of hope. And of course, we know that hope is not enough. Of course, hope embeds also this this situation that there's always, with this hope, embedded this idea that it could go wrong. And with this knowledge, I thought that there is just one chance for me, surviving, but even more chance for me and doing it good, getting healthier than I was beforehand. That was my goal, not going back to status quo. And I knew that it was not possible with the situation I had beforehand, because I've worked in the consumer goods industry. My days were full of running around, flying around, discussing around. Even if I was at the toilet, I took at least two of my smartphones with me to check the updates and put in the latest numbers, reminding people what I should do to increase the numbers. So it was good in a one moment for me to have this calmness, to have this quiet moment for me, to get a kind of restart button, which gave me the chance to look back. I did that. I looked back, I looked to the front. And what I get, what a big gift. I got the big gift to just rethink my life and find ways on how to get out of this. In the end, what did I do? I applied for a professorship laying in the hospital. I applied for some further job opportunities laying in hospital where the school medicine was really about saying, oh my God, what is she doing there? And I didn't want to fight against their will or their idea. It was just for taking all my energy for me, for good, for the good things. So 10 years later, I'm here. You can see me sitting on a normal chair. You could see me walking around as if nothing has happened. But the old patterns, if we are not strong enough and not sensitive enough, the old patterns can come back. Always. So it is about me as about everybody. And going back into the old patterns happened also to me. I got the professorship. I started a successful institute about in sustainability management. And I founded companies. I got birth to a baby. and quicker back than I thought I was in my old system. In my old system, where I just worked, where I just functioned, where everything worked as beforehand. And I thought, oh, that's great. I can do much more than before and feel even younger. But this is not a solution. This is not a solution for us, as we should learn our lessons. A tiny bit learn them, but a tiny bit not. And it's always time, if you recognize this, to turn around, to change. And I think this is the secret of everything. We need to know that change should be always our brother and sister. Change should be always that what is staying, what is stable. But we have to know what exactly helps us, what exactly drives us, and what exactly keeps us on going. Have you found this by yourself? I myself had to do it on the hard way. Some years later, I found myself back in hospital. SOS. They operated me over 7 hours. And when I woke up, half of my body was sewed. And I felt terrible. And I had cables and blood everywhere. And I couldn't feel me. And I was told that I was lucky. And I look back the last years since I saw I got it from hospital into real life, back into life. And I felt like I learned just a tiny little bit. But I learned a big lesson on that day. And this lesson is that you never should stop taking care of you. And it's not that if you once took this lesson and you learned it, that you can leave it. You always have to stay on that. You always have to take care further on you. This is what I learned on that day. And on one hand, it made me like, oh my God, I have to take so much time further on taking care of you, where I thought that I don't need to. And on the other hand, I thought this is a gift. It's again a gift for you. Whereas it's a gift that show you that it's not about surviving. It's not about fighting. It's about being nice, treat you nice, and learn that everything what is caretaking about for yourself, it is a gift and a present for you. It's not time you lose on something, you fail on something. But of course, it means a completely other understanding of life, especially on your own life. I was used to do it in a way that I fulfilled first everything what was given from society. And I did it well. I collected a lot of awards. In these years until 2007, I wrote 50 books. I wrote more than 200 articles. I was attending more than 200 conferences. So I fulfilled all the expectations from society in getting back into the world. But what I haven't fulfilled was my own expectations on how to feed myself in a nice way. I got back into my old system, into the old routine. In some ways, to just fulfill the need of society, of expectations from outside. And I recognized that I don't know exactly what are my expectations about me. I will tell you more about this, and I will look forward to having you with me after the small break we have now. But Chris, it is much more to learn. For example, the new happiness. And I will tell you how, and I will tell you why. And I will make you fit enough that after this talk show, you will be happy enough and gifted enough to know how the new happiness works, which will make a big, big change in your life. Looking forward to seeing you in a few minutes back here in the radio show.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Everything could be so good, but why are we limiting ourselves without any need? We don't understand that this limiting us is something where we make us smaller. We only understand that this is something we know. We know from the past, which keeps us safe and keeps us in order, because everything what the system knows and how you are seen is that what looks normal, good, and right. And this is what you need to know, because if you change yourself, it will be a change in the system. No system likes us. A system is now normally only there that it tries to be as strong as possible. So if you put energy on changing yourself, it will change, of course, the system. It will give the system new ideas, new chances, of course, but maybe the system doesn't want it. Maybe participants of the system doesn't want it. And then it needs more energy from you, even if you just want to change yourself. This is something you have to be aware of. This is something you have to be aware of every day. And the ones of you who've tried to just optimize themselves, started just with doing fitness every morning, eating differently, waking up early, going to bed early, talking just only positive way. After a few time, they felt, oh my God, I tried too many. I fell back into the old habits, into the old routine. Why is it so hard to stay in a new routine? As I said, we're used to save energy. We're used to do the things which keep us safe, where we can spend a lot of more time on other things. But what if these things which we want to change is this on what we concentrate? And we don't want to do 10 further things besides this, but if we put this into priority first, then it makes a difference. Of course, then it shows us what is it about. It is interesting because these little micro things assume same and show up the same in the big view. Look, for example, about the planet. We are discussing about sustainability. Why are we discussing about sustainability? Why are we discussing about regeneration? Isn't it a must, a given must, that we should work on this and have this as topic one? Without any discussion, because it is about feeding our ecosystem, which is feeding us, which is feeding our kids, which makes sure that we have a world worth living in. Isn't this the case? And if this is the case, what could be more important in working in this line? What could be more important than thinking in this line? What could be more important than bringing people together for this goal, for this one goal? Instead of this, we're thinking about how it is to start living somewhere else in the world, on another planet, underwater, without knowing if this is possible. Of course, we could say, yes, this is a great innovation. We shouldn't be shy talking and thinking about it. Yes, of course. Of course, we shouldn't stop. But we should be aware of our resources. And so often we are not aware of our resources. I wasn't either. I so often just used my resources in my early childhood and later, starting to run, jump, and do all these things for extreme sporting, just for getting the medals. Not thinking about my health, just about getting the time, getting the numbers which people were expecting from me, which a team was expecting about me, which I wanted to deliver to make our team happy and successful. But what about me? Have I thought about me one day, one minute? No. It was the whole idea about the whole. And I think nowadays, completely in a different way. If we think first about ourselves, and not in the way of social media, not in the way of television, of fake news and anything. But what if we think about ourselves as a resource given, where we have the responsibility to keep it valued, to keep it and treat it in a nice way, in a resilient way? What if we see our resource as something that we should be the best version of us? For us and for others. If we would do this, if we would behave like the best version of us, then we would eat better, then we would drink better, then we would move better, then we would sleep better, then we would keep better around with the people which are positive, supporting us, than with people putting us down and speaking against us behind our backs. If we would do that, then we would grow, and we could grow into our skills, into our competencies, into our gifts given by us, by our education, by that what we learned until now, by that what we have in our head and in our heart. And if we do this, then we could feel lighter, we could feel more happy, we could be satisfied, we could feel like that. Often in some cultures, feeling satisfied, feeling happy, and feeling light is something which is combined with this is not something which is earned. And people don't accept it as something which is important. We have to turn it around. We have to understand that real happiness doesn't need any must, doesn't need any hard work. It could come directly. And how many of you know exactly what and where your competencies are, how many of you use them carefully for you, yourself, and for others? And how many times is it the fact that you are sitting somewhere and eating things which are not good for you, or drinking things which are not good for you, where you are following habits which are not good for you, like staying too long awake, drinking too much alcohol, smoking, eating convenient food which contains much, much little from the nature, even nothing from nature anymore. We have to rethink what we want, and we have the chance. And it's great that we have the chance every day. If I look at me, for me, I'll feel so powerful if I start the day with a meditation, and not with a meditation somebody gave to me, not with a meditation where somebody sorted out the music for me, not with a meditation where somebody makes a text for me. No. I feel the best if it's a meditation which comes from me, from my heart. It doesn't need a text. It doesn't need a song. It needs that your breath. Concentrate on your breath. And that's the best you can do in the morning to start the day with that. And if it's about a song, take your song. Don't take a song somebody else figured out for you. Don't take a song where somebody else thought that this is the song which you need to know when it is about awakening, when it's about getting into good feeling, when it's about getting into power. Each of you has own songs. Look at your own songs. Look at your own rhythm. Look at your own frequency. This is what is the wonder of life. What is in your body and what you can awake. And isn't it great? You can have it done wrong all the time, all the years and centuries. But if you hear it now and you're interested and change yourself to the better, get more empowerment because you've earned it, then you have the chance to prepare for the next great decade, full of power and happiness, feeling light and young. Of course, you can do it with stem cells, with the support of every medicine. We have so great technology and so great nature medicine to support us. And I can tell you a lot about it because meanwhile, I'm an expert in this field too, more than just asking people, which I did at the time. But I understood that all the work, all the food, everything, what you buy, as if it's a coaching or as if it's a medicine, it is all an instrument, a third party thing. You, if you want to get healed, and if you want to live your full health, your full longevity, and your full youth, then it's important that you start by yourself. Don't think that payment solves the situation. Don't think that just giving your responsibility to a coach or to a psychotherapist helps you the best. That is you. You have so much power inside yourself, and it's great to get support. It's great to get ideas from outside. But always know that the best strength lays in yourself. I put some methods together with Help Me and a Time 10 years ago. And looking at them helped me in 2016 when I was again in the hospital, had this SOS operation. When I looked at my old notes, at my methods I put together, I understood that it's about me. And these methods and this understanding helped me to do it right, feeling much better than every time. I was asked several times to put it somewhere. I was asked also several times to talk about it and to give it to other people that they can profitize from this too. I was a bit ashamed because I didn't want to talk about my situation, my sickness, my path. But then I understood that this would heal me better and also others. And so you can look forward to my next book, which will be published early spring next year, which is about the genetical happiness code. And you can look forward also to my academy, where I put everything which helped me and where I hope that it can be a support for a lot of you and support you in any ways exactly there where you need it. And I talked so much about happiness. Happiness helped me all the way along. Happiness helped me in the darkest moments where I understood that I don't need to stick there. Happiness helped me also in the lightest moment where I understood that it's happiness, which is about life. And it's not just a happiness, which is good because it's just good to feel light and fulfilled. Happiness is also a medical side. Of course, if you're happy, if you make a friendly face. The blood circulation is another one. And if you're laughing, then especially. Do you know that there's a laugh yoga initiative worldwide? It is just that you try or that you laugh as if you would laugh, as if it would be something from your heart. And it's funny because the more you're laughing, artificially laughing, the more it feels from your body that it's real. So the longer you laugh, like ha 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 ha, it turns after a while into a real laugh, and you're thinking, oh my God, that's me laughing in a normal way because I understood, my body understood that this is good for me. So never think that a false laughing doesn't help. A false laughing you can turn into a real laugh. And then it helps you not only to start your day, to go through your day, to end your day in a really light and great way. It helps also your blood, your cells, your everything your body will say thank you. And now I will turn to a book, Getting Happiness Right, in a word that's got it wrong. Oh, this is a bag of promise. And it says it's a new happy. And I will tell you a bit background about this. Maybe before the break, I can tell you a little bit of the author and some quotes. And I will follow this by reading after our next pause. So let me start with a new happy. A New Happy by Stephanie Harrison offers a refreshing approach to happiness that breaks away from conventional wisdom. Harrison presents a compelling narrative grounded in both modern psychological research and timeless philosophical insights, focusing on cultivating happiness through collective well-being and purposeful living. The book encourages readers to shift away from self-centered notions of happiness toward building relationships, fostering community, and contributing meaningfully to society. With relatable anecdotes, actionable tips, and deep reflections, Harrison helps readers confront common myths about happiness and instead embrace a more inclusive, socially conscious pursuit of fulfillment. The book is thought-provoking and empathic, providing practical guidance without oversimplifying the challenges of modern life. Readers are left feeling inspired with a clear sense that true happiness is not an isolated achievement, but a shared experience that loves everyone. Stephanie Harrison is a thought leader and happiness expert with a diverse background that greatly informs her work. Growing up, she was deeply influenced by her experiences volunteering and community development in projects which help focus on collective well-being. Professional journey spans psychology, coaching, and organizational transformation, making her insights uniquely grounded in practical experience. Harrison's work is often centered around exploring how people can live more meaningful and connected lives within their communities. Her special interest in positive psychology emerged during her academic career, where she studied the science of well-being and the social factors contributing to human flourishing. Harrison also worked with numerous nonprofits and corporate organizations to foster cultures of kindness, belonging, and engagement. Her passion for empowering others led her to create workshops and retreats that translate complex research into accessible and actionable advice. New Happy reflects her lifelong commitment to rethinking happiness in a more inclusive way. New Happy was born out of Stephanie Harrison's realization that traditional ideas about happiness often led to isolation, competition, and dissatisfaction. While coaching individuals from various walks of life, she noticed recurring themes: people striving for elusive personal goals while missing out on deeper connections, and the joy of shared purpose. Motivated by these observations, Harrison wrote this book to challenge the dominant narrative around individual success equals happiness and to propose a radical alternative centered on interconnectedness and mutual support. Her approach draws on extensive research and her experience in coaching and community leadership. Harrison also wanted to address the epidemic of loneliness and disconnection that has become prevalent in modern societies. The book is a culmination of her desire to help people rediscover happiness by looking beyond themselves and tapping into the power of communal joy and shared values. So I would like to give you 7 tips from the book before we go into the break of 3 minutes. Focus on creating deep and meaningful connections with others. Prioritize purpose-driven goals that positively impact your community. Challenge the idea that happiness is solely about personal gain. Practice gratitude in a way that highlights shared achievements and community milestones. Recognize and dismantle myths about success and happiness perpetuated by society. Engage in small acts of kindness to contribute to a ripple effect of collective happiness. And cultivate a sense of belonging through active participation in social and community initiatives. So please stay tuned because we continue with great quotes from the books and the reading.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tennis Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, we started before the break with New Happy, and I told you already a little bit about it, and I stopped with my 7 tips about new happiness. So before we go into the book reading, I want to share 5 quotes with you from the author. Happiness grows when it's shared, not when it's stockpiled. The myth of self-centered success keeps too many of us from finding real fulfillment. Connection is the root of happiness. Isolation is its greatest threat. Collective well-being requires each of us to redefine what success and happiness truly mean. By lifting each up and each other up, we create a happiness that is resilient, enduring, and deeply satisfying. So, and with these 5 quotes, I want to jump into the book's reading. I would like to start with the chapter about talent. When you think of a talented person, who comes to mind? It's probably someone like these folks. Leonardo da Vinci, the painter and inventor, Ada Lovelace, the first computer programmer, Charles Dickens, the author of many acclaimed novels, Julia Child, the chef who brought French cooking to America, Serena Williams, the winner of 23 Grand Slams. Our world is full of people with diverse talents that awe and inspire. They have reached heights of mastery that seem so far out of reach for the rest of us. It feels unimaginable that they were once a person just like you and me. Someone who's focused about what they want, who doesn't know what they're good at, who feels like an imposter. We don't see their journey of becoming those talented selves, which keeps the process shrouded in mystery and very, very hard to replicate for ourselves. What we do see is an imagine that reinforces old happy. It seems like talent springs forth from these people perfectly formed. Hello, perfect self. Talented people have achieved so many extrinsic goals, like wealth and fame. Hello, outcomes. And talents are reserved for just a few brilliant geniuses. Hello, separation. Yet every single one of these people and many more besides walk the same invisible path. They got lucky and stumbled upon it. But the rest of us deserve to find it too. More than 2400 years ago, Aristotle wrote a treatise called the Nicomachean Ethics, which continues to shape the fields of philosophy and psychology to this very day. In it, he argues that every person has a daemon, which is his word for the true self. Your daemon is where your innate potential lives. Aristotle argued that your task as a human is to actualize that inner potential, to bring it forth so that you can become your most you self. We have already explored how to bring forth the love that is within you. Now it's time to bring forth the potential that is within you. Combining Aristotle insights with modern research, I've broken it into 3 steps. First, discover your true self innate potential. Second, turn your potential into a talent. Three, evolve your talent over time. This is the invisible path now made visible. So discover your potential. Julia Child never cared about food. That all changed when her new gastronomer husband, Paul, took her to the oldest restaurant in France, La Couronne, operating since 1345. There, she sat down and ate a meal that changed her life. A half dozen oysters on the shell, sole manure in a brown butter sauce, a little dressed crisp green salad, and the creamy cheese known as fromage blanc. She later told the New York Times that this meal was an opening up of the soul and spirit for me. This is how we discover our talents, by paying attention to the feelings that our true self gives us. These feelings might be spiritual in nature, like child's, or they might be something more subtle, like warmth or calm. There could be a motivation to action, like, I need to learn more about this, or I want to try that. They might be thoughts like, I wonder, or that sounds cool. Start making a list or use our workbook, or where you note these moments in your daily life. This is your potential list. It's like you're panning for gold, with your feelings serving as an alert that you found something worth exploring. For example, if you're a college student, look for fragments of gold in your classes. Perhaps it's when your professor says something that makes you sit up a little straighter, or an offhand reference in a textbook that sends you down a research spiral. You might feel it when you're working with a team on a class project, organizing everyone's effort to achieve a goal. Or you could be captivated by a guest speaker sharing their career journey. If you're having trouble, here are a few additional strategies that can help. Go back time. What did your 7-year-old self love? What subject in school, game, book, or movie, even if it seems impractical, make a note of it. Steal a schedule. Look for ease. Ask for feedback. And then turn your potential into a talent. Leonardo da Vinci was the son of a wealthy, well-respected man in Florence and grew up exposed to the city's renowned art and culture. He started drawing as a child, and his father arranged for him to apprentice with one of Florence's artists, the legendary Verrocchio. Leonardo ended up spending many years working in Verrocchio's studio, developing his artist talent. Charles Dickens had a rougher start. At the age of 12, he had to go work at a boot blanking factory to pay off his father's debts. After 3 years in the factory, Dickens was able to return to school. Eventually, he became a reporter, writing daily stories for newspapers and developing his writing talent. Keep evolving your talent. Your true self doesn't want to stay in one place. It wants to keep expanding. It needs to keep expanding. As you become more skilled at using your talent, you will need to continually increase the level of challenge to keep experiencing flow states. Go deeper. Move sideways. After Julia Child wrote her seminal cookbook, she stared at television shows, helped found the American Institute of Wine and Food, and worked in childhood food education. Expand your perspective and think about your talent as a part of a broader constellation. For example, a talent for art is a part of a broader constellation of creation talents like filmmaking, design, photography, or fashion. A talent for customer service is a part of a broader constellation of connecting talents like volunteering, organizing, leading, sales, or public speaking. Make a leap. Aside from art, Da Vinci spent many years studying the human body, mastering mathematics and designing flying machines, robots, and weapons. What connected these pursuits? He wanted to push beyond all existing knowledge and wasn't content to do just in one field. Keep your talent a gift. Talents are the gifts that are mostly easily warped by old tapi, the way a piece of wood gets warped in the rain. You do not have to use your talent to make money. You can use it anywhere. If you have the talent for motivating people, you could use it to keep your friends hopeful in hard times. If you have a talent for creating, you could use it to start a knitting hobby. If you have a talent for entertaining, you could use it to throw delightful dinner parties for for your friends and family. There are three steps for building a talent: uncover your potential, turn it into a talent, and keep evolving it. Uncover your potential by looking for a spark, moments of interest, curiosity, and excitement. Turn your potential into a talent through facilitating flow states and working collaboratively in a group. Over time, your talent will evolve. You can go deeper into what you're already doing, move sideways into a related field, or take a leap into a new domain. And I would like to end with a few sentences from lesson 7, the word we are waiting for you. Bangari Maathai always has been a trailblazer. She was the first woman in East and Central Africa to earn a master's degree, and the first woman to get a doctorate from the University of Nairobi, where she became the first woman who held an associate professor role, and the first woman who to become the chair of a department. Dream big, start small. In her mid-30s, she left behind all of these first. Women in rural Kenya were telling her of the troubles. It was getting harder to earn money, find food, gather firewood, and collect water. Maathai realized that these were signs of a broken relationship between humans and nature. 12,000 years ago, before the agricultural revolution began, there were 6 trillion trees, less than half remain. In Kenya, British colonialists cleared 90% of the forests and forced farmers to degrade the land to produce commercial products. Maathai realized that it might be possible to heal this relationship. She wanted to restore the well-being of rural women by paying them to plant trees, which would in turn restore Kenya's environment. At first, nobody was interested. No one. Undeterred, Maathai started herself, planting a few seedlings in her backyard. After several persistent years of advocacy, she began to gather groups of local women. They nurtured seedlings in cans and cups, moving into permanent spots to grow tall and strong. Bit by bit, the trees grew and the forest returned. Bit by bit, women discovered their own gifts. Bit by bit, the movement grew. What started with a few backyard seedlings became the Green Belt Movement, which has now planted more than 50 million trees and helped 30,000 women. As it turns out, Maathai had another first in her future, the first African woman to win the Nobel Peace Prize. Maathai shows us that doing something big always starts with doing something small. In her Nobel Peace Prize acceptance speech, she declared that we must stop destroying that which gives us life and makes all good things possible, our planet. We are called, she said, to help Earth to return to a state of well-being, and will discover that this is the only way to return to a state of well-being for ourselves too. We are called to recognize our deep connections to another and to honor them with care and compassion. And she concluded, we are called to elevate our way of thinking once and for all, so that we can create a better world where every single creature on the earth can thrive. Deep down, I think that we all know that she is right. Our time is now. Will we answer the call? What are the key takeaways? No one person will save the world. It will be all of us. Identify a global problem that you would like to see addressed. Determine how you can use your gifts to help to solve it. And as you build a happier world, remember these key lessons. Be yourself. Use your gifts in new ways. Reject the status quo. Fight for what's right. Hold on to hope. Embrace the challenge. Dream big, but start small. With this, I would like to end the reading, and I would last just like to jump quickly into something which is important for us, because it's about women's rights globally. And after we heard from Maathai Wangari, I think it's the right time to say a few words about it. A recent Human Rights Watch report highlights significant issues affecting women's rights globally, such as gender-based violence, systemic discrimination, and access to healthcare, with particular concern for reproductive rights in regions where these freedoms are under threat. In our rapidly evolving world, recent surveys are shedding light on critical issues shaping our collective future. From mental health to women's and human rights, these findings are more than statistics. They are a call to action, a reflection of where we stand as a global community. A groundbreaking report from Human Rights Watch, released in October 2024, draws attention to the urgent challenges faced by women worldwide. Gender-based violence remains pervasive, affecting millions. In too many places, women continue to face systemic discrimination that limits access to healthcare, education, and political representation. Most pressing, however, is the state of reproductive rights. For many women, access to basic reproductive healthcare and the freedom to make decisions about their own body is under threat. The HRW finding emphasizes systemic discrimination that obstructs access to healthcare and political participation for millions of women, really underscored by the WHO's 2023 Global Health Observatory data, which shows that nearly 810 women die every day due to preventable causes related to pregnancy and childbirth. We see that there's a lot to do. And this report serves as a stark reminder that gender equality remains a fragile reality in parts of the world, requiring renewed commitment from governments, civil societies, and individuals alike. But the fight for human rights extends beyond women's issues. The World Health Organization's recent emphasis on mental health underscores its significance as a fundamental human right. Around the globe, individuals with mental health conditions experience discrimination, abuse, and systemic barriers to accessing care. This includes ending coercive practices and investing in community-based services. So what does these reports teach us? That human rights are more than words enshrined in laws or conventions. They are the lived experiences of millions around the world. Gender equality, mental health, and human dignity are battles we must keep fighting through policy reform, cultural change, and individual empathy. When we work together for equality, we strengthen not just the rights of some, but the well-being of all. Thank you for joining us here. So let's continue to listen, learn, and act about a more inclusive, compassionate world. And never forget about that, what we learned today also about happiness and love. Of course, we need to get the energy from something. Take the happiness from everywhere. Take the love from everywhere. And keep going. Keep shining. And look in the mirror and see what great competences you have. Take them all as gifts and take them for granted and keep them working on, because these are gifts you should work with. This is what you brought with here on the world. So thank you for being with us and connect with us. I look forward to seeing you, all of you, next week. Thank you.